I'm Orlando Bloom, and you're listening to the Two Star Podcast.
Okay. So in the spirit of previous weeks, I have done a little musical introduction.
Yeah!
Which I shall now play for you. Two Star Podcast. Two Star Podcast.
It's time to put on makeup. It's time to dress up right. It's time to raise the curtain.
Two Star Podcast.
Why do we always come here?
I guess we'll never know.
It's like a kind of torture to have to watch the show.
Time to get things started
on the most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, motivational.
Two Star Podcast.
Well, that was exceptional.
There we go. Yeah. Thank you very much. And so, indeed, welcome to the Two Star Podcast. This is episode 73. I am Adam, and I am joined, as ever, by Graham.
Full disclosure, I'm not wearing any trousers.
Chris.
Hello, I think I should sue you for theft of an idea.
And Dan?
Full disclosure, I took Graham's trousers.
Fantastic. So we begin this week's podcast, obviously, with the tragic news that it's all gone a bit wrong.
Yes. Yes, it has.
But has it gone wrong? And you think about Graham's real talk, which I enjoyed very much. And actually,
well, I mean, I guess from a certain perspective, from a certain perspective, it could well have gone very right. But from most perspectives, I think most people will agree it's probably gone quite wrong.
Yeah. Not least because would be a shitload worse if it was the Trump supporters doing them.
Yeah, not least because Nigel Farage is now our US ambassador.
Well, happily, he's not. Basically, Theresa May has called him a bellend who can't get elected and proposed to
ignore. It doesn't change the fact that he is, like, our de facto US ambassador now.
And it doesn't change the fact that within a week she'll have changed her mind.
Well, that too.
That's true, yes.
So I did quite enjoy the photograph of Man of the People Nigel Farage and Man of the People Donald Trump standing outside the solid gold and diamond encrusted doors of Donald Trump's $100 million penthouse apartment, just showing how in touch they were with the ordinary man on the street.
You see, I have an interesting thought about this. I think they are absolutely in touch. And this is super depressing, because basically what it means is that, you know, 52% of either country, if they made shitloads of money, would immediately go out and spend it on massive fucking gold doors and gold-plated everything. Which is just... ugh.
That's probably true.
Yeah,
I think you've got to admire the guy's chutzpah, because he didn't even leave it 24 hours before he decided he was not going to pretend to have anything to do with plebs anymore.
I mean, it's very Brexit, isn't it? You remember the sort of the photos of Ian Duncan Smith and Michael Gove sort of sitting there looking faintly shell-shocked and then going, what, $350 million for the NHS? Oh, I never said that. Oh, no. And Trump's sort of like, yeah, I know I said a wall, but... a fence is basically a wall, isn't it?
I like the way he's not denying anything. He's just saying, oh, yeah, no, I can't do that. That's impossible. Yeah. Of course we can't build a wall.
I can't be asked. It's just...
well, it's not going to be all walls. It's going to be a bit fence. Yeah. Yeah. No one said it was going to be a wall all the way. They said it was going to be a wall.
Yeah.
We didn't say there wouldn't be and some fence.
Yeah. And you know, I said some racist things on the campaign trail. I totally didn't mean them. Would you all just knock it off? Oh, you're
I quite
not going
enjoyed
to?
The stories that came out of his meeting with Obama where... like, he and his staff didn't realise that, like, they actually have to replace all of the White House staff.
Yes.
Because they'll all just leave at the end of Obama's term, and it's not just going to be, like, Trump and his six mates. They've got to, like, fill, like, 300 vacant posts.
Yeah, but I mean, do they? He could probably just do it all himself.
I mean, they don't have to, yeah.
It's just going to be a fucking amazing episode of The Apprentice, isn't it?
Oh, God. That would genuinely redeem the whole thing.
Yeah, maybe they can just hire all the people off 4chan to come and work at the White House.
Oh, yeah, they'll do it as an apprentice-style show where they've got until January now.
Yeah. That's true, actually.
You see, this is my chief problem with the Trump presidency. Surprisingly, it's not that Trump is president. It's that Trump won't give a shit and will basically just hand wave anything and anyone who says, just give me a free rein, I'll do this, it'll be totally fine. Then all of the frankly terrible people that he surrounds himself with are going to be all like, yeah, he doesn't care, we're just going to do this, Trump said so, on we go, and, you know, ban abortion.
Oh, yeah. He's not been inaugurated yet, and he's already lost interest in being the president. And
yeah.
His campaign staff did say, basically, that whoever got to him last was the one that got the thing that they wanted, because that was all he remembered.
Well, that's how Mike Pence got the vice presidency. He was all set to give it to Chris Christie, and then someone said, no, actually, this Mike Pence guy, he's great, broke his plane so he couldn't fly off. He met Mike Pence, says, yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah, you can be vice president
yeah.
now.
Yeah, and he's replaced Chris Christie as his chief of staff now. So basically there is no one in the world who has given up as much for so little as Chris Christie, which frankly is funny, although very sad.
And I mean, like, to be fair, the only good thing that's come out of the US presidential election are the Joe Biden memes.
They are amazing.
Only because I kind of get the impression that they're not that far beyond the realm of possibility.
Well, you have to assume that Joe Biden and Obama are making most of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I particularly love the one with, sort of, you know, I super glued one of the drawers shut and stuck a post-it on it saying secret plan for Islam or something. That would work.
But this is the thing, like, I can totally believe Joe Biden doing anything. I mean, you must have seen him at the press conference where he was standing next to Obama just pulling silly faces and then crossing himself when Obama said that, you know, we've got to hope that Trump does a good job.
Yeah.
He's clearly a man who, despite being vice president of the United States, does not give a shit.
No.
I think there have been other good things about that result.
Like?
All the race hate.
Okay, I thought of some and then I forgot them.
Excellent. You would make an excellent candidate for President of the United States.
Is it that we're now the second dumbest country in the...
Yeah, that's it.
And
you know, it does look less stupid.
So we no longer feel like we're the stupidest country that's done a bad vote. So that's number one. I mean,
in fairness, we could be off the podium.
Oh, yeah, because France are going to elect the National Front.
Italy are going to throw out their current vaguely boring centrist guy, and then it'll be the apocalypse when Germany elects another Nazi, and we can all just
gonna
have
forget
a war.
About fucking Brexit.
Yeah.
The other thing is that there is a certain amount of Schadenfreude to see Hillary Clinton not win that contest, because she is annoying, isn't she?
I like her. I mean, I think, let's be honest, given any other election, she'd lost by a wide margin. The fact that Trump was the competition, I think, is the only reason it was close.
I can't see her having beaten any of the other Republican candidates for the primaries.
Well, I mean, she did literally
except
get more
maybe
votes.
That one who said that the pyramids were used to store grain. Who's that?
The point is, yeah, she got a higher percentage of the popular vote by a couple of percent. Mm. But like I said, if it had been anyone other, you have to remember, this is Trump, the man who literally did everything that he could to not get elected. Like, the least qualified and, like, most woefully inadequate candidate that has ever run for president of the United States. And he nearly won the popular vote and did win the Electoral College.
Yeah, but he was interesting, bluntly. And I kind of...
Maybe from like a historical academic point of view, but not from any other context.
No, but the Republicans could very easily have won a boring person who ran on exactly the same platforms all the other Republicans have before them. And everyone would have been like, yeah, they both suck, whatever. And Hillary would probably have won because generally the United States isn't in that bad shape. But because they ran...
I think you're underestimating how much people really hate Hillary Clinton.
You really are underestimating how unpopular both of the candidates were. Yeah. Like, did not vote basically swept the country. They, like, people who didn't vote essentially won every state.
Well, none of the above. I think none of the above must have won the popular vote.
Mm. Like, nobody wanted to vote for Trump or Clinton. They grudgingly did because they didn't want the other person to win.
I don't know. I think a lot of the people doing all the racist attacks wanted to vote for Trump.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah. But if you're, you know, a massive racist, then you're obviously not. If you're a massive racist, sexist, homophobe, you're not going to vote for the woman who supports gay rights.
But this is my point. I think that for the boring candidates, which is all the rest of them, the massive racist would have stayed home.
In good news, I was just inspecting my toe and I thought I had a verruca, but it was just a bit of sock fluff.
That's
fantastic.
Good a reason.
That's the kind of feel good story that we need at the moment.
Well, that's made my day. That has.
Mm, yeah,
fantastic.
Also, earlier
maybe
on,
you should check your testicles for lumps. You're not wearing trousers, so it'd be easy to do.
Well, hang on,
and then hopefully won't find anything. Good news story. I mean, you have been and had a poo a couple of episodes ago. So
yeah, well, I've not got any ball cancer.
Fantastic. Great. I mean, this is just one good story after another. Mm.
Another interesting thing that happened earlier was I sat down on the bed in the hotel room, having just put my bag on, and I lifted up my legs and looked between them, and there was a brown leaf on the bed. And for a few seconds, I was genuinely worried I'd shit myself. But it was just a leaf. It was fine.
So you remember last time you wanted an episode free of farts and poop and...
We were going to gently phase it out.
Oh, okay, fine.
Well,
so
that's
this
not really
is
talking
phasing.
About poo. That it was a leaf. That's what I've just explained.
Yeah. So stop trying to bring up. Stop trying to bring it up, Dan.
All right. If I had shit myself, I wouldn't have been allowed to talk about it.
Okay, we established the rules. That's
so
fine.
On the subject of unpleasant topics, it has come to my attention that Apple, famous purveyor of slightly overpriced white goods, for want of a better term. Mm. Are selling a book basically, it's a picture book of like Apple products over the years.
Right.
This book is $300.
$300 dues.
$300 dues.
How many pages?
It's like 450 pages.
Oh, that's less than a dollar.
Less than a dollar per page.
I mean, yes, that is certainly one way to look at it.
That's less than I know about paper books.
The other way to look at it is that they're selling a really, really expensive catalogue.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of feels like a bit of a suicide note for Apple. Look how fucking great we were. Because it has got a bit stale with them, hasn't it? I mean, I know they're literally richer than Britain after...
A link to the Apple announcement, and you can have a look at some of the samples of the page. Mm. To be fair, you can get a $200 version of the book if you want the small one. But I mean, why would you want the small one?
Well, of course, if you're going to buy something that it's literally just pictures of an iPhone, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, there's also pictures of like iMacs.
I can't make the pages turn.
Well, no, that's the point, Dan. Like, it's a physical book. It's a thing you have to buy and, like, flick through with your hands. You remember them?
Not really,
don't they
no.
have any of the nice old computers?
I imagine so.
I like
They've got,
them.
Like, the Mac Cube and stuff like that. So it says they've got everything from the 1998... Oh, sorry. It does it from 1998's iMac to the 2015's Apple Pencil.
But
they must have all
the
stuff
no,
from that, surely.
Rubbish, isn't it?
Well, they must have older stuff than that.
I want Greatest Hits Volume 1 with the...
Well, it does say examines 20 years of work by Apple's design team. So, yeah, like that does imply that it's only going back to like the sort of late 90s and not like their really early stuff. So, yeah, it is kind of a bit weird.
I'm going to find all these pictures in high resolution on the internet and print out one of those photo books that you can get on like boots.com and stuff.
My dad had a Macintosh 2 at work. And it was the most incredible thing ever when I went to look at it. Wow. There was a game that was a bit like Star Trek. It was brilliant.
Fantastic. But that's the Apple book. So if you happen to have $300 burning a hole in your pocket, obviously the sooner you buy it, the better, because the pound is devaluing as we speak.
No, it's going up, isn't it?
Actually, I don't know. GBP...
Well, I think it's more that the dollar is going down.
Yeah. There's been a brief recovery by the looks of it, but
we went
it
up
is still
4%
pretty
fucked. Against the dollar and 6% against the euro. So we're now only 10% less valuable than we were before.
So we're, $1.25 to the pound.
Mm.
So all we need is for some fascists to be elected in Europe, and we could be back up where we were.
Pretty much.
And it everything is quite will be sad exactly the same it was, but just with more hatred.
Yeah, well, it won't be exactly the same, will it? Because, you know, if the fascists get elected in France and in Italy, you know, bad things have tended to happen.
Well, the best thing about that is all of the refugees who are going to be fleeing European countries, they're going to come here. And all those Brexit voters who've set this shit in motion, they're going to be fuming.
Well, no, sorry, there's a headline on the BBC News website that I just fantastically misread. The actual headline is singer handpicked for Fantastic Beasts. You know, the J.K. Rowling film. You know. But I read it three or four times, and every single time I read it, a singer handpicked for Fantastic Breasts.
I mean, which probably seems just
far
accurate.
More likely. Well,
I mean, that's the music industry, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know who Emmy is, but apparently she's been handpicked to sing in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Emmy.
Nope.
I can't tell from the picture whether or not she has fantastic breasts. So, sorry, do please continue with fascist Europe.
Well, it's kind of a bit depressing.
Okay, well, don't then. Chris, cheer us up.
Cheer the world up.
With what? Alex
Anything.
80. He Take needs our help. He has 4 votes with an average of 3.3.
So
I'm
for people who are
him.
Not up to speed, remind them of who Alex 80 is.
Well, we know that Daniel likes to go to ratemydick.net and vote on dicks. And we chose someone to
We are technically sponsoring his dick now, I think.
Yeah, and it was Alex 80, and we chose the one with the really big balls. And Graham voted it as 2 out of 10, which I thought it was my fault, really. I encouraged him. And I felt bad, so I voted him 9, hoping to bump the score up. However, 2 other people have voted, and now his average is 3.3. And it would be nice if we could get it above 5.
Maybe he could have 2-star podcast tattooed on his balls.
That sounds excruciatingly painful.
That's not my problem.
I mean, Chris, the thing is here, we've got to be real about this. Are you doing this because you genuinely believe it should be a 5? Or are you just doing it because you feel sorry for him having such a low rating?
Or are you doing it because you enjoy staring at penises?
One. Yeah, you see, that just seems somehow dishonest.
Patronising.
You have a lot of integrity when you rate testicles and bollocks and willies.
Well, yeah, I mean, what's the point otherwise?
Yeah, if you're not going to do it honestly, then it makes a mockery of the whole website.
Yeah. No, you've got to take these things seriously. Although I do think your point about the rating system and your point about Facebook might be related.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is Facebook thinks I'm gay. Which is interesting.
What's made you think this?
Well,
has it like flashed a message up at you saying, "Chris, it's your day to come out today," or something?
Well, no. The suggested posts, like the sponsored posts, the adverts. For quite a while, it's been telling me about RuPaul's Drag Race, which is like my favourite TV show. So that's fair enough. But just recently, it suggested I take a health survey for gay men. And I thought, okay.
Well, I think the amount of data that Facebook collects on people, I think that you probably are gay. It's just that haven't realised it.
I was going to say,
Facebook probably knows better.
Yeah.
I'm really quite sad now. I've just looked at Facebook and scrolled down, and the first advert it's given me is for Quizzony. Asking me to, and it's a quiz that will tell me who I should roll in Dungeons and Dragons. Which
Facebook knows that
literally
you're a nerd.
Is.
I mean,
it's so accurate and so damning.
It's offering me a t-shirt of Tony Benn.
That's.
I don't have a Facebook.
That's
account.
Actually pretty cool.
Yeah, but I mean, also, it's got the measure of all
three.
It
would be better if it was a t-shirt of Mr. Benn, but.
It
has been spot on with you and Dan, so
it's 2 out of 3.
So, I mean, I'm not quite sure how you're going to break the news to Gemma, but
maybe you're bi.
Yeah, and Facebook knows that. Facebook knows I'm married to a lady.
In fairness,
and it thinks,
no,
you're living a lie.
To ladies.
We know your interests, and you are living a lie.
You're going to start seeing adverts for divorce lawyers soon.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know, it's interesting. Maybe I need to explore this further. Maybe it needs to be my next project after the
big
fart
data
balloon.
Has outed you.
Yeah, do you think that happens? Do you think people?
I think it just
don't know their sexuality, and then computers know it and tell them. They say, "Look, you're doing all of these things."
There have certainly been cases of people being like, I don't know if there have been any cases of people being surprised themselves that they're gay, but there have certainly been cases of algorithms outing people as gay, or there were a couple of cases where people were like outed, if you like, as pregnant. Because like their system figured out that that's what they wanted, so they sent them like a load of like shopping coupons for baby stuff.
Yeah, I read about that one. And then it turned out that she was pregnant as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like they're very good. Like I said, they're very good at it. Mm. But yeah. So I don't know of any instances where somebody's actually not realised that they were gay and then been told by a social network and gone, oh well, this explains everything. But you never know; it might have happened.
Well, this is it. This is that singularity.
Well,
I mean,
quite possibly.
So, well done, Chris.
You'll need to keep us up to date with your progress.
Yeah.
We need to know
good
how
luck discovering yourself.
And maybe, Dan, you could volunteer yourself to be his first boyfriend and kill two birds with one stone.
Well, no, because Facebook knows that I love Dungeons & Dragons, and if there's anything that we know about people that love Dungeons & Dragons, it's that sexual contact is not in their future.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I mean, on the plus side, it does increase the diversity of the podcast quite a lot.
Yeah, that is quite important.
Yeah, we're now 50% gay.
Yeah, so...
Okay.
Well, I know there's three of us, but Chris is so gay that he...
Okay, he's like triple gay.
Yeah.
When we first met, Graham thought I was gay. I am very camp, I'm aware of this.
All I got from that was, when we first met, something at camp, and that really worried me.
No. Well, I know that I'm very camp. I'm fine with that. I'm pretty fabulous. But when we first met, Graham thought I was gay, and he was a bit arsy about it.
So did your wife?
Yeah, my wife thought I was gay. So she would say, "Well, I always."
I think this is just a big. Your whole marriage is just an elaborate way of her making a point. Well, I mean, to be fair, that's all marriages, isn't it?
Yep.
Oh, so you think she just was trying to force me to come out?
Yeah.
So this is,
she wasn't
expecting
you to go with it.
If I start dating him, he'll have to come clean and confess.
She's
and
been
then
desperately
I didn't,
trying to get
thought,
you to
right,
come out for
right,
years.
Well, if I move in.
I'll move in, and I can find his secret gay porn mags and stuff. Well, he's proposed now, so all in or nothing.
Oh, yeah. Oh dear. Well, okay. Yeah, I
think
mean,
you
do
need
I
to
have
tell
to
her that
tick a button now to let Facebook know it's right? I mean, how do I do this?
You can change your sexuality in your profile.
Do I have to? Did I enter a sexuality in my profile?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Probably.
Oh.
That or Facebook has entered one for you.
Well, that's true. Why would that? Like, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I've gone into your about page, and it says.
Does it say totes gay?
It says super
utterly
gay.
Fabulous. Yeah.
Life events, 2016 came out.
There you go.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, well, Chris, keep us up to date. Come back next week and tell us how your coming out has progressed. I think it's important that we support you through this and get as much material as we can out of it.
Okay,
Meanwhile, quick update on our Christmas advert. Obviously, we discussed this last week. Mm. Unfortunately, John Lewis, the bastards that they are, beat us to the punch.
Cunts.
With a trampolining dog for some reason. I saw an advert on a promoted tweet on Twitter for the Sainsbury's Christmas advert, which I refused to watch on principle. And I know somebody who got a radio advert for a TV advert for Christmas, which
is
pretty fucked up.
An advert on the radio saying
for the TV,
we've done a TV advert.
Our new TV advert, our new Christmas TV advert is out.
I got a fucking hell, if I could afford a TV, I wouldn't be listening to the radio.
I got an email from Marks and Spencer's telling me that I could have a sneak preview of their fucking Christmas advert. I was like, it's just getting a bit ridiculous. A, it's not Christmas yet. B, the whole point of adverts is that they jam them down your throat at every possible opportunity anyway, so why would I possibly want a sneak preview of it? And B, C, even fuck off, it's not Christmas yet. Bah.
But you have to admire, like, it's an incredible feat of marketing that they've now got people, like, actively seeking out their adverts to watch them.
I mean, I don't want to give anyone from marketing any credit for anything ever. Just on principle, but I suppose were I to admit that marketing has good and bad marketing, yes, they've succeeded very well.
I saw an advert that really upset me. I was really annoyed by it. It was for Littlewoods, and it was basically, well, how I heard it was this nasty voice going, "Ah, just put this all on credit. You won't have to pay for it for 3 months. Buy it all. Who cares if you don't have any money?" And it was, oh, that's sad.
Yeah, you think they could have found a better voice actor for the advert?
That's just how I heard it. It's just nasty.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Christmas adverts aside, obviously ours has had to be shelved now. There's no point. We've been beaten to the punch.
We do a Black Friday sale. I don't think anyone else will do that.
That's do we true. Sell anything?
Yeah. Well, we yeah, sell every like episode e-cigarettes. Of the, every episode of the podcast we sell.
Oh, okay,
we?
Fine.
E-cigarettes, robotic wanking claws. What else have we done that's branded?
Fart balloons.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
So plenty of stuff.
Okay, no, that's fair enough. That's fair enough.
They're all 50% off for Black Friday.
Excellent.
Superb. Graham, I believe for the first time in quite some time, we have an update from a previous story.
Yes, so Christian from Scotland got in touch. When I say he got in touch, I message him and say, what is happening about this poo? And he said, oh yeah, I'd forgotten I needed to tell you about that. I just assumed he wasn't listening, but he was. It's fine. We haven't lost 30% of our audience. It's not a problem.
But if he hadn't been listening, then he probably would have said, oh yeah, I did listen. I promise.
Well, no, he said, despite Christopher from Dorset's numerous requests. So he knows that much. Or maybe he's just got a measure of you like Facebook.
Or alternatively, he was just spent all of his time shitting on the bathroom floor.
Maybe. So, we have got a reply, and it says, "Dear Sirs, many thanks for your valuable input, re the Phantom Jobby Layer, and your request for feedback. I can confirm there have been no further poos, though there has been a surprising amount of blood and some plasterboard."
That's an excellent reply.
I don't know if that has been laid by the same person, but I mean, yeah, he says, "I've been thinking it would perhaps be appropriate to lure the fecia. I'm going to put up a poster with regards to your competition for the largest poo ever laid, and hope that he or she comes forward to..." It's not a she, is it? Come on. "And hope that he comes forward to submit his entry, so to speak. Can you confirm your willingness to sanction this course of action?" I would say absolutely.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And we can organise a prize giving ceremony.
Yep.
And we'll have.
Oh,
we'll
I like where you're going.
We'll have the poll list there.
Yeah.
Why doesn't he put up posters advertising the 2-star podcast listener competition? And then maybe the person would enter.
Well, I think that's literally what I just said.
Yeah. That is literally what Graham just said.
Oh no! I thought he was organising a separate competition.
Oh no! He was putting up a poster with regards to our competition. So, yeah, so he'll get us a new listener as well.
Excellent.
In which case, we don't want to vilify this guy too much because that's quite valuable to us. He continues. He says, "On another note, Mister from Dorset has not thought through his fart valve sufficiently for the fart balloon. I don't want to jizz in his fart balloon, but he had a double. If he had a double valved system with a low pressure antechamber to collect the PARP on its immediate emission, the antechamber could then be squozed manually into the higher pressure main fart balloon area. I will not charge for this assistance, but will expect to receive next week's podcast for free. You're welcome, Christian from Scotland, formerly of England.
Seems fair.
I don't know how to do that. So yeah, that all sounds fine, but it's complicated, isn't it?
Perhaps he could do some blueprints.
Mm.
Some poo prints.
But basically my idea of farting in a bath and catching it in an upturned bucket, the bucket would be that low pressure antechamber, wouldn't it? And that then when you attach the balloon to the top, with the sort of little hole in, unscrew it or whatever, and then push the bucket down, it would go into the higher pressure balloon.
I don't know if there would be enough pressure for it to inflate the balloon, though.
If you've got enough fart in the bucket and...
But you're not going to be able to pressurise the fart inside the bucket.
Sorry, say that again?
Well, you wouldn't be able to pressurise the fart inside the bucket, would you?
Well, when you push it into the water, it would pressurise it.
Oh, I see. So you're pushing it down. But is your bath deep enough for that to work?
It's basically like a bucket bong.
But it would just come out the bottom of the bucket. It would just spill out and you'd need to put something over the bottom of the bucket. And your bath would need to be deep enough that you could pressurise the fart.
No. I think this is... Probably something that can be conveyed through pictures and drawings rather than with words.
Agree that collecting the fart in the bucket in from the bath, that's the most sensible option for harvesting the fart in the first place. That works.
The bottom of the bucket, which is actually the highest point up, there is a hole drilled in that with a bit of piping and all wedged in with blue tack so it doesn't leak. And then the balloon goes on the piping.
Oh, I see. And you push the bucket down, forcing the water up and therefore out into the...
I see. But I don't think you'd be able to push it down far enough.
You're probably right.
You'd need a very deep bar.
You'd need a deep bar.
You'd need like a plunger, an upside down like on a cafetiere, but that's airtight. Mm. And then you could use that to push up into the bucket. Or I think the easiest thing to do would be to have a tap in the top of the bucket that you can then inhale the fart from the bucket and then blow it into the balloon. You need to siphon it with your mouth. Like, I think that's the only way you could guarantee it would work.
I'm pretty sure that's A, not the only way you could guarantee it would work, and B, a good idea anyway.
Why hasn't this been done before? Because this is a really important thing for science, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure I'd go that far.
I mean, Nobel Prize is probably a bit high, but certainly the Ig Nobel Prize, I think we're a shoo-in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, totally. I mean, there's a small risk of a Darwin as well, but but I think Ig Nobel is right on the cards.
Mm.
It is very dangerous when you're shooting for the Ig Nobel Prize and you just kind of...
And you follow through.
Overshoot it a bit, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think following through in this particular context is a very appropriate turn of phrase.
I think so. I had to fish a shit out of the bath the other day.
Yeah, you tweeted about it. I was... What's that combination
you
of horrified
Dan
and resigned?
That you wouldn't tell anyone about that.
Well, he's talking about the time I destroyed his toilet anyway. So
My wife was having a bath and she called me up and said, "Graham, there's something awful." It was my 1-year-old son. He was in the bath and he did his poo face, which I've come to recognise. And I said, "Oh no!" But luckily, it was quite a solid lump. If he had done a poo the previous day, it would have been 80% liquid and it would have been a different matter. But luckily, he had recovered from whatever, I don't know, he'd had a curry or something.
I was once at the pool in the park in Woking and a little baby did a poo in the wave machine pool. And little bits dispersed everywhere. and they sent in like a work experience person to scoop it out. Oh, and then after a while, they said, "Yeah, it's fine now. It's safe. You can go back in."
Yeah, it's and chlorine, isn't it?
People
it's...
I was with like, no, we're not going back in.
I don't think I would ever go back in that pool. I intended to use the shower head to disintegrate it so it would go down the plug, but the structural integrity was too great, so I had to get a piece of toilet paper and fish it out.
Some friends of mine are going to have a home birth, and they've going to do it in like the birthing pool. And do you know what the main job of the man is in that
situation? It's fish poo out,
isn't
it?
With a sieve.
Dispose of all the blood.
Oh, yeah. A sieve.
Yes.
They have to catch the poo in a sieve. That's their main job.
Yeah. Gemma considered it and she asked me, would I get in the pool with her? And I just laughed.
I probably shouldn't laugh at that.
No, I'm happy to be next to you if you want to do that, but there is absolutely no way I'm getting in a pool with you while piss and shit and Christ knows what else and a human comes out of you.
You know, the best bit would be, of course, you'd be sort of naked or semi-naked in the pool with the poor midwife there as well.
Yeah. Well, I think I'd be allowed to wear swimming trunks and a t-shirt. I don't think...
Oh, okay. Yeah, but would you want blood and all that jazz?
They don't need easy access to my genitals.
Well, no, but...
Well, no, but why restrict it?
No more so than any other time.
Yes, unexpectedly horrifying, as opposed to our normal expected horror.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've been rambling for quite a long time. Does anyone have anything else that they wish to contribute to this week's episode?
I got one thing I'm going to wait until you've almost wrapped up.
I thought you might do.
Can see Daniel Chris? Wants to talk about Liam Fox.
I don't, actually. It's just depressing. We've had enough politics chat this week. We can do it next week when he does something else equally bellendish.
Okay, so it's just you then, Chris. I don't know, this feels like a band encore.
I think it's
just
a trap.
It feels like really, really forced and just kind of fake. And it's like, you know that they're literally just going to walk off stage and immediately back on again and do another song.
Oh, yeah, but they only do it to whip up the crowd, so that's what we should do now.
Okay, well, in which case, that's all for this week.
Well, no, we shouldn't even say goodbye, we should just walk off.
Yeah.
And then all the listeners will start going, 2 star, 2 star, 2 star, 2 star, or Christopher from Dorset, Christopher from Dorset.
That one doesn't work.
It's not
quite
snappy,
as well.
Is it?
No. But yeah, they'll start to whip themselves up into a fucking frenzy because they'll realise none of the lights have come on. Yeah, all the lights stay down. They'll just be screaming, yelling on the bus or train or, I don't know, in bed with their lover, which is how I assume most people listen to this.
I mean, you would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, all of this is happening backstage now. This discussion. So they're going fucking nuts. They're all losing their shit out there.
Okay, we should probably get back out.
So what we're going to do? We're going to do one power chord to really. Well, I didn't mean literally. I meant
just
it
a
would
brown
have to be...
note.
Chris just kind of
like the brown note. Don't
they did like that, didn't they?
I don't think there's much like it as you know, have to run around a bit and find a toilet, which is looks the same sometimes.
So Chris, just thank you. Chris, if you want to just launch into your question or thing.
My thing. Right. I have thought of a really
fucking
great name.
It's new material. Fuck this. I'm going home.
Good call.
It's not the new album. Oh, fuck off.
It's okay, Chris.
Well, I've thought of a really great name for a cat, but I've typed it, but now I think it's such a good name for a cat. I don't want to tell anyone. In case I ever own a cat.
All right, well, let's leave it at that.
Yeah, well, what I could do is I could tell people the algorithm for creating great cat names.
And then they can submit theirs.
And then they can make up their own.
And then
if they write in to me at Twitter with the actual best name ever for a cat, then they'll win a special prize.
Or whoever gets closest wins a Christopher from Dorset fun pack. Signed photo.
Which, based on Facebook algorithms, will be fabulous.
Get rid of all of your straight man accoutrements.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dazzlus with your algorithm.
I was saying to someone, if I had a cat, I might call it Stevens. So then it would be Cat Stevens. Cat Stevens,
yeah, see where you're going with that.
And then it got a bit cleverer. It went via Cat Deely. And I started thinking, oh, well, you could make it so it actually made real words that started cat.
A Moran.
So, for example, you would have a cat Astrophy. And you would call it a log.
Hmm.
Little a log over there. And people would go, oh, why have you called your cat a log? Are you Irish or something? And you'd say, no, it's cat a log. And they go, oh, that's slightly amusing. So that was one. Or appalt. Catapult.
Yeah, that works. Yeah.
So that's the algorithm. And there is one word I've found that is amazing. But I don't want to tell it to you because it's brilliant.
Okay.
But
do we have to wait for you to get a cat so that nobody can steal it and you've already named your cat that? And then when they look up the register of taken cat names on the internet, they won't be able to have it.
Yeah. So I'm sort of risking everything now, aren't I?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you don't have to reveal it if you don't want to, Chris. It's very much your choice. We're all friends here. We won't judge you.
Yeah, much. I'm not going to tell you the best name ever for a cat, but I've told you how I found the best name ever. And now it's up to you and your imagination and your dictionaries. So there we are.
Is the algorithm exclusively cat something, or can you have something cat?
It's got to be cat first, I think.
Okay. Catastrophe.
Ah, he's got it.
Was that
it's
it?
Good, yay. Isn't it? You would have a cat called Astrophe, and then it would be Cat Astrophe.
I think. Okay, you can have that. I'm not going to rename either of my cats.
No.
Yeah. Well done, Dan.
That wasn't very much an anticlimax.
It was indeed, and that fits, on that anticlimax, I think we should say goodbye from the Two Star Podcast. We'll be back next week.
Wait, I've got something else I want to talk about. It's something you didn't know about. It's something
He's
else
got a catchphrase.
It's something else extra.
It doesn't matter because I have the powers to mute you like that and then you can't talk anymore, and it's brilliant. So,
yes.
With that, I'd like to say thank you to Graham.
You're very, very welcome.
Hey, I can
and
turn
to Daniel.
Myself on.
Fuck off.
I've still got Graham's trousers.
It's important. It's about PJ and Duncan.
No, it isn't. No one cares.
PJ and Duncan. PJ
thank
and
you,
Duncan.
Dan.
I need to tell you about it. It's important.
Oh, fucking hell, Chris.
It's important.
It really isn't. Just
right.
Turn it
no,
off.
It's
stop recording.
Really important.
It's right. Not.
I was talking on Twitter to our super fan, and they didn't know who PJ and Duncan was.
Well, that's because she is a child.
Which gives us a great opportunity to educate this younger, hipper audience about our heritage.
Or we could just leave them in blissful ignorance.
They know nothing of the stories we learned from Biker Grove.
I mean,
I don't think I can remember anything apart from don't take your mask off when you're paintballing.
No,
but I knew that anyway.
The only thing that I remember.
It's a very important lesson.
There was also.
I think I've taken safety procedures at all sort of outdoorsy events very seriously because of that.
There are precisely two things that I remember about Biker Grove. One of them is PJ and Duncan getting blinded paintballing, and the other is the theme song to Biker Grove.
Don't you remember Spuggy?
Nope. No.
Was Sonia the pop star in Biker Grove?
There's a pop star?
I don't know why Sonia? I would think she was, because she was from Liverpool.
Did she come in a later series? And she
I don't
helped?
Think she's got anything
was
to do
Jeff,
with Biker Grove.
The guy that ran it?
Yeah, he was a pedo.
He
probably was. But Biker Grove was in the days before CRB checks, and he definitely looked like a pedo, which is good enough for me.
Yeah, totally.
I think U-Tree should go and pay him a visit.
He probably will, to be honest.
I think the time has come for sort of Biker Grove to be restarted.
Like the next generation?
I hope not.
Yeah.
I mean, but where, though? Because, like, kids' TV is kind of in a weird place now.
Well, like the idea that Graham had about remaking something, but it being really gritty and hardcore.
Well, sort of like
Grove was pretty watershed. Gritty. It was in Newcastle. I mean, that's about as, it's about as gritty as you get for children's TV, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Biker Grove was, yeah, it was really bleak.
Yeah, and they could have like a Hollyoaks late night companion show where they all fuck. All the children from the youth club. maybe I'm seeing why they never went down that avenue.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think there was a pregnancy, wasn't there?
Yeah, I was going to say there's a good chance they were all fucking because, you know, north of England, teenagers.
Yeah, there's not what else to bastards. Do really, is there?
I remember there was a storyline and there was a boy who went to a farm. I don't know why, some kind of city outward bound thing, and he had a girlfriend at Biker Grove, and he came back a week later and he'd got an egg from the farm. And he was like, look man, he came out of a chicken. And he
I'm sorry, was that your Geordie accent? Have you been taking lessons accurate. From Dan?
No,
why,
one's that
I
bad.
Man, I cannot believe it.
That's Indian nights.
He moved him a chicken's ass.
Yeah, oh, but he'd also got a girl on the farm pregnant, and then he
was the egg. Was this related? Was it a fertilised chicken's egg? How do chickens fertilise the egg? This is actually a genuine. Well, Chris, you mentioned that you wanted to do some real talk. So real talk here. I don't know how chickens reproduce.
They fuck like anything else.
Yeah, but then how does the man chicken sperm go inside an egg without breaking the shell?
It becomes the egg grows after it's been fertilised.
No, I'm not having it.
The shell grows around the fertilised egg.
No, no.
And there's like a weird production line in a chicken of these eggs getting progressively bigger, and then the shell starts to form around it.
No, I don't accept that. What is eggshell made of?
It's basically sort chicken calcium. Loss, isn't it?
Yeah, calcium sounds about right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for your information.
Yeah, I mean, the alternative is that chicken sperm is basically as powerful as a jackhammer, which is not something any of us want to contemplate.
Or maybe the sperm is the eggshell, and that wouldn't make any sense.
No.
There's a good thought. Reason that none of us present any educational programmes on television.
It's because of all the bans and Operation U-Tree, obviously.
Do you know, squids, when they want to fuck, the man squid rips off his dick and throws it at the female, and then she uses it to fertilise herself.
It's not as bad as the anglerfish.
What does that do?
So they sort of go at it, but basically the anglerfish's dick gets stuck, and the...
That's a good Freudian slip.
It was a good Freudian slip. And then basically... the female anglerfish dissolves the male anglerfish, so it becomes like this disembodied set of balls embedded in the female anglerfish. And if that ain't Freudian, I don't know what is.
I used to go out with a girl like that.
Right, that's it. Not any more of this.
You don't want any more natural world phenomena.
No, nor do I want any more.
There must be some
talk.
Other animals that fuck in bizarre ways.
Quite possibly, but we'll have to leave that until next
Google
week.
There's a really weird set of animals who have
I'm profoundly
the blueprint
grateful that
being... to become a different animal within them, but they lack the enzyme. And if a scientist injects them with the enzyme, they turn into that other creature, which is sort of mind-blowing. It's a really good setup for a sort of science fiction film.
Mm.
Axolotl.
Possibly, yeah.
It's a lizard, and they kind of they grow into their sort of semi-larval state. Yeah, and then they kind of should end up growing into something different, but they don't because it's all gone wrong.
Dolphins screw each other in the blowhole.
No, they don't, Graham.
No, they do.
They do.
They
no,
do.
They don't.
They also, dolphins. As we've previously covered on the on the podcast, use electric eels to masturbate with.
Yeah. But, yeah, dolphins rape each other by sticking their dicks in their blowholes. Which is effectively sticking a dick up somebody's nose. I mean, that's just weird, isn't it?
Can we stop now, please?
Someone was saying that the nose is evolutionarily designed to be have smaller holes than can fit a penis in the same way as the ears. Because literally every other orifice, someone has tried to stick a penis into it.
What about the same
ears? Ears? The ear.
Yeah, hang on a minute. So,
yeah, but I covered that as well.
But the rationale there would be that, like, the people who had large nostrils died as a result of this.
You would, though, wouldn't you?
I mean, that's the only explanation, isn't it?
You'd kill yourself out of shame at the very least.
If you had a small dick, you could go around killing people by, well, I suppose, suffocating them with your penis. Well, that's easy.
I'm looking forward to that on Miss Marple.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, right, that's really it. We're done. Good. We'll be back next week.
Okay,
we're sorry.
I'm off to confuse Facebook further with my identity.
Fantastic. Thank you for your time, gentlemen. I don't want to spend like 15 minutes of the podcast just with Dan fucking about trying to get his audio settings working.
I think we could have just put that out. That was pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Well, if we did that every time, we'd have enough for like an anthology of just Dan having technical issues.
We'll have to try and replicate it now.
No.
Dan, unplug your headphones.
No.